This is HeartWise, a program offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life happier, healthier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. In today's show, we're going to be going right to the truth. We're going to go to questions and answers with Dr. James Markham. We always get questions on our website at heartwiseministries.org, and now's the time when we're going to answer them. I'm Tim Kochus, and now here's James Markham with our first question here.
Yes, we're going to go right to the questions today, and I want to invite all of our listeners, if you might out be in our audience today, go to our website, heartwiseministries.org, write your health question. We'll have one of our professionals either answer it on the website, and some of these we might answer on the air. And of course, we protect the people's privacy
and their identities.
We change their names, and you know, we want to get their questions answered, because a lot of people, Tim, they have the same questions, the same health questions recur over and over. So if we answer one question, it might answer lots of questions, and also it leads us to different principles on healing and different principles about what the truth is in medicine. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, it's so hard in this well-marketed world. It's hard to know what's truth out there.
And that is so true. Would you like to get to the first question?
Yes, let's get at it.
All right. I've got a young lady, Karen. She's from Washington State, and she says, my 50-year-old husband recently had a heart attack and subsequently a four-vessel bypass surgery. What do you call a four-vessel bypass surgery?
A quadruple bypass.
There you go.
Okay.
His doctor put him on a strict diet. He is considerably overweight. He has become very depressed through, well, let's put it this way. Physically, he seems to be healing all right. What kind of suggestions could you offer her?
Yeah, that's not too uncommon, Karen. After a bypass surgery, you know, the patients get through it, they come back home, and depression is one of the more common feelings that people have after the surgery. Sometimes, you know, we want to do everything right, and sometimes the patient has to make very many changes in their lifestyle because we want to get at what caused the disease. But sometimes these changes can be too quick, and sometimes people eat to be happy. And sometimes when we take away everything that makes them happy, this adds to their depression. So a couple things we want to focus on after the bypass surgery as far as diet. It's not so much what you eat, it's when you eat and how much you eat. If he has to have a little bit of candy every now and then to be happy or this or that, I think that would be acceptable because his happiness is very, very important. Remember, in the Bible it says, a merry heart does good like medicine. Mm-hmm. So we want to try to meet him where he's at, because if he's not happy, the negative chemicals that exist from wanting to eat something he shouldn't is probably worse than actually eating it. So we want to focus on that. And also we want to focus on, if someone's depressed, getting outside in the sunlight. That seems to always help the vitamin D levels and serotonin. And we want to show them lots of love. The more love a person has, the more they're going to feel better. They're going to feel healed. We want to support them through that. Now, some people, after 5 or 6 months of doing these type of things, they still depression. In rare instances, a patient might benefit from an antidepressant medicine, but I find that very rare after bypass surgery. Usually, if we meet them where we are, we show them lots of happiness, give them lots of love, get them outside, get them back, give them a lot of encouragement. Usually, they do pretty well. But I've seen this over and over again. The wife wants their husband to do well, so she says, you can't eat this. You can't eat that. The husband says, I've done this my whole life. I'm just going to throw in the towel. And the real solution is to say, listen, let's be smarter about that. And I want you to be happy first, but let's make changes. And as we make these changes, we feel better. And then we're able to make these changes on our own.
All right. And I know, so I made it sort of a two-part question there, because one is, what suggestions did you have for Karen? And then where do you blend in the husband? What does he need to do?
Right. And, you know, we've talked to Karen. That's good. I'm glad you brought that up to him. Now, what does he need to do? Well, you know, he needs to sort of, you know, the things like we talked about, continue on the walking program, try to get outside more, find things to love, find opportunities to serve. That will sort of take you away from worrying about you all the time, because we know that service changes a heart. Try to serve his wife. Try to find that happy ground. Try to get back control over his life. And as it's about control. They're depressed because they've lost control over the life. After the bypass surgery, as they as they start feeling better, they're back to driving a car, they're modifying their diet, they're exercising, they gradually get back control, they go back to work. It's going to be better, but it takes small steps. And most people after the bypass, they don't feel better after the first few days. They say, well, this week I feel a little bit better than last week. This month I feel better than last week. This is a slow healing process, both the physical part and the mental part that Karen's experiencing.
Okay. So am I on the right track here? If she's doing her part as the wife and the carer, giver, if I may, because it's a wife and husband situation here, and he's doing his part by following the directions you just gave, do what they find that's happy, actually do the exercises, do what the doctor prescribes, they will feel better.
Right, and they have to work together on this diet. You know, don't make
that's
it too
key.
Strict that you're not happy, you know, and don't try to change everything at once. You know, work in increments, be patient, try to take things very, very slowly.
All righty. Here's another question we have here. It is from Bob from Indiana. My sister-in-law, and this is another one. It's interesting because we have a lot of heart attack or heart issues here in our questions. It says, my sister-in-law had a heart attack a couple of weeks ago. She never goes to see a doctor, and she doesn't know much about this kind of thing. So what should they do?
Okay. That's a great question. Heart attacks, of course, are caused by blockages in arteries, so our blood flow doesn't get to our muscle in the heart, and the heart starts to hurt and die. And when it does that, lots of bad things can happen.
Okay, now let me back this up. Number one, what is a symptom? I mean, let's do this in stages so people understand this. We have Ken, and we have a couple other people here that have asked a very similar question.
Okay.
You know, a reference to heart attacks. Mm-hmm. So let's go to a symptom first.
Okay.
And what would be a symptom? Okay. And I know women and men separately have different symptoms.
They might have different symptoms, right.
So let's go to women first. What would be a symptom there? And then go to the men and then take it from there.
Well, there could be many. And a symptom is basically a feeling that you have that's not normal for you. Okay. And that can come in many shapes of way. For females, sometimes it's not chest pressure like it is in men. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might be just extreme shortness of breath. It might be abdominal pain. It might be pain in the neck, pain in the arms. I've even seen back pain. Some heart attacks have no symptoms at all except extreme exhaustion. So any feeling above the waist or in that's not normal for a person, a woman, can be a heart symptom. Of course, in a man, the most typical feeling is like a ton of bricks is sitting on the chest. They can't breathe. Pain might be going to the left arm, might going to the right, must be migrating up to the neck. Those are the most common symptoms. But any symptom above the waist that's not normal for a person could be related to some type of heart.
Okay.
Now, so that's the symptom. Well, what's actually going on inside? The artery is clogged up, not getting enough blood to the heart muscle. The heart muscle is not functioning. The dangerous thing that happens sometimes, Tim, is when the heart doesn't get blood, it goes into these abnormal rhythms. Mm-hmm. That's called an arrhythmia. That's why we see these defibrillators all over these places. That's why we shock people, because sometimes when the heart doesn't get above, you have these abnormal rhythms. A lot of people that don't know that one-third of all heart attacks never make it to the hospital. They die in the field, and it's from these abnormal heart rhythms.
Okay, and does that have to do also with them not recognizing the symptoms?
Yes, it's a combination of that. Sometimes they can have the abnormal rhythm. Sometimes they say, oh, I'm just having indigestion, or it's nothing I need to worry about. And then the heart progresses, it gets worse. One thing leads to another. If we can catch a heart attack within the first 6 hours, we can limit the damage by placing a stent usually in the artery that can open it up and really preserve heart function.
Now, can somebody actually be having symptoms over and over and over as they progressively get worse and damage be done, but not actually go into a full heart attack?
Yeah. And we call that symptom angina, or pain coming from the heart. And usually that pain happens when the heart has to do anything. Let's say you're walking up a hill. Mm-hmm. You walk up a hill and you get tightness or you can't breathe. You stop doing things and that symptom goes away. Well, that could be a symptom of angina. That's a sign that the artery's partially blocked, but not completely blocked. When it's completely blocked, that's having a heart attack. That's a symptom that does not go away. Angina is a symptom that you cause usually by exertion. For a female, it might be walking at the store. She might be walking up and she gets extremely short of breath. She stops and it goes away. That would be called angina, and that could be a symptom of a blockage of the artery. And likewise, that could lead to a heart attack if it's not treated and discovered.
All right. Well, you know, we're hitting all this around the heart area and heart ailments.
Now, one of the things they wanted to talk about is what causes this.
Okay.
Excellent question. The way I think of it is, you know, there's not one cause. Through the centuries, you know, we tried to give everything a cause. And for years they thought, oh, cigarettes, that's a cause of heart attacks. Being a man's a causing of heart attacks. Having high cholesterol is a cause of heart attacks. Well, it's probably a little bit of everything. And I want our listeners to think of it this way, Tim. Anything that puts stress on the body can trigger heart disease. We know some people that just have the stress of a loss of a loved one. We call that the broken heart syndrome. All the adrenaline when you lose, when you're scared, those can precipitate heart attacks. Any stress like the stress of cigarettes, the stress of diabetes, the stress of obesity, all that causes stress, causes inflammation. Inflammation can trigger the progression of cardiovascular disease. So it's not one thing, but I think of it as stress on the symptom. And how can we take stress out of our lives? Of course, if we smoke, we can quit smoking. If our cholesterol is high, we can work on that in the diet. We can lose weight. All these things we can do. But first, we have to recognize that some stress is causing it. And getting back to a biblical perspective, stress is usually caused by us not following the owner's manual, the way God designed us very beginning. And as we move away from the original good plan, the original good food, the rest, the happiness, the love, then that puts stress on our body, which can lead to these bad things, which can lead to a blockage, which leads to a symptom, and subsequently a heart attack and the need for acute care medicine like a stent or a bypass or lots of medicines.
All righty. Well, you know, we've looked at the cause, or rather the symptoms. We've looked at the causes, or what we can do, and then the cause itself, what causes them. And I know we've got another question here. We have Mary from Arizona, and she heard our questions and answers on a program a couple weeks ago and really enjoyed it. And she actually went to our website, and she asked a question. She says, my blood pressure is above normal in the morning when I get out of bed. How unusual, because usually that's when you're most relaxed, which I find that unusual myself. After rising, the BP comes down to a more acceptable reading. Obviously, she's watching these levels up and down her blood pressure and all. I had a full cardiac evaluation done with all reports being good. She'd love to hear what you have on that.
Okay, so let me get this right. The question is, we have a normal blood pressure in the morning, okay, before she gets out of bed.
It's above normal.
Above normal. After rising, the blood pressure comes down. And then everything else looks good. Okay, I think I understand the question. Well, first of all, blood pressure is the pressure in the cardiovascular system that's created by the heart pumping and relaxing. The top number is called the systolic blood pressure, and we like that to be below 140. That's the pressure that as the heart pumps. The bottom pressure is the diastole. That's the pressure in all the tubes once the heart's relaxed. We like that to be below 90.
Okay.
Anything that puts stress on the body can raise blood pressure temporarily. If I scare you like that, Tim, your blood pressure is going to go up a little bit.
Sure.
If you eat a big salt load, that could raise your blood pressure up. Just being physically active can raise your blood pressure up. If the blood pressure is up hour after hour, day after day, week after week, year after year, that's when it becomes hypertension. And that's when it's dangerous, because that's called the silent killer, because it's high in those tubes and you don't even know it.
Right.
And it can damage the organs. It can make the blood pressures more acceptable to heart attack, can cause strokes, can make the heart weak because it's pumping against all that pressure, can make the valves leak, it can damage the kidneys, it can cause aneurysms, which are weak spots in the blood vessels. Well, our person doesn't have high blood pressure all the time. This just has it for a short period of time, and that goes with what we call the circadian rhythms.
All righty. Well, now you understand, our audience understands, what a question and answer is based on HeartWise Ministries page. So if you'd like to put your question onto our website, you know, and ask Dr. Markham and a number of our other doctors who we have on our site, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The power of choice. It led a teenager to lose his first job. It led him to a rough life on the sea, and it led him to years of confrontation and controversy. Looking back at his life, he said, "I sinned with a high hand, and I made it my study to tempt and seduce others." After years of dissidence and depravity, he finally saw the light and chose to live for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Overwhelmed by this truth, he penned a testament to God that reflected his own transformation. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton was a new creation, thanks to God's amazing grace. Make the Bible part of your life with free daily ESV Bible reading sent directly to your computer. Check it out today at BibleForLife.org.
Here's your daily heartbeat with Dr. James Markham.
How do we know what's true in the world of diet and weight loss? You know, sometimes we hear low fat, high fat, low carb, high carb, low protein, high protein. Then recently I read an article that says none of the diet plans out there work long term. Well, I say let's get back to the biblical treatment. Let's get back to what the Bible says. You know, friends, the original diet consisted of fresh fruit, nuts, grains, and water. This was the biblical diet. This made Daniel and his friends much smarter than the others just by getting back to the basics. So one thing I want to urge you in any diet plan, let's get back to the biblical plan. Fresh fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, water. Make that the cornerstone of your good diet.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
And welcome back to Heartwise, Mind, Body, and Spirit. We were just talking during the break here, and we were just referring to the earlier question, blood pressure, and you wanted to follow up with that.
Yeah, that's a very common, Tim, because 1 in 3 people have high blood pressure. So it's very important that our listeners understand about high blood pressure.
Okay.
And our individual had a high blood pressure at one part of the day, and then it comes down normal to acceptable range. So I wouldn't necessarily cause this high blood pressure. This is more the circadian rhythms. And your circadian rhythms are that, you know, your stress hormones go up in the morning, your adrenaline, your cortisol. So your blood pressure is going to be actually highest in the morning hours when you get up, and it's going to be lowest when you sleep. Now, if this person's blood pressure is up all the time, then they might have a problem. But if it fluctuates like that and it's below the numbers we gave, then they really don't have hypertension. They're just normal fluctuations.
Now, wouldn't you say that would be a normal rhythm?
Yes.
You wake up, your body wants to get going, and it slowly comes down for rest in the evening.
You know, and what's interesting about these questions, a lot of people, Tim, I notice, have questions about their health. And it's important to answer these questions, not only to relieve their anxieties, which can raise blood pressure too, but also point them out that a lot of these symptoms, you know, whether it be high blood pressure or chest pain, are symptoms of disease. And we want to prevent symptoms by getting back to the owner's manual, how God made us to live. You know, the resting, you know, God wants us to rest one day a week. God wants us to be happy. God brought us water to take care of the earth. You know, all these things we want to focus people back on. So I'm ready for another question. Bring it on.
Alrighty.
Let's bring on another
one. We have one from Canada. She says she is 87 years old.
Bless her heart.
Yeah. 3.5 years ago, she was stricken with a diagnosis of obstructive, it's hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. I practiced that one.
Beautiful.
I said it right. And you, how do you say it now?
Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
All right. What is that, real quick?
That's where the heart muscle is thick all over. That's the hypertrophy. It means thick. Cardiomyopathy means it's so thick that it's hurting the heart.
All right. Now, here's the question. This is where she's asking, because she has a question here. My arteries are squeaky clean.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So they installed a pacemaker and my heart beats at 62 beats per minute. I'm taking 2 medications. One is a calcium blocker and the other is a beta blocker. Why do these substances have to be blocked?
Okay.
You know, there's a good question right there. I'll go ahead for that one.
Okay. Well, they are giving these medicines to you for a couple reasons. The calcium channel blockers do 2 things. Some of them, they lower blood pressure, but some of them slow down the heart. Now, a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is a heart that's thick. One of the most common causes of a thick heart is high blood pressure. It's like lifting a weight. You lift weight over and over, pump against pressure,
the muscle gets bigger.
And sooner or later, it gets worse. So we assume that this is what's going on with this patient, that the muscle's thick because it's pumping against pressure. So they want to lower the pressure as much as they can.
Okay.
Even if the pressure is normal, sometimes in hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, we want it to lower it more so that muscle doesn't have to lift that weight over and over. So a calcium channel blocker would do that, as well as slowing down, and so would a beta blocker.
So the fact that she's on two means that they really are concerned about that pressure. They want to lower it. They also want to slow the heart down so it can beat more efficiently. Now, in heart disease, I sometimes think, you know, if your heart's not working, if your arm's not working well, it's broke, you're going to rest your arm and let it heal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way we rest a heart is, of course, you know, not as much activity, slow a person down, no physical, heavy physical, lower the blood pressure and lower the heart rate. And this is what's happening to her heart, which needs to be rested. They're lowering the blood pressure and she shouldn't be doing any heavy lifting, lots of fast running. These sort of things should be done.
And at age seven, I can understand that.
Right.
Now, she would like to know, can the same results be achieved through diet?
Well, we can get some of those reductions in blood pressure through diet, especially a low salt diet, a diet that's high in exercise. But in some instances, the heart's damaged permanently, genetically damaged, and you can't bring it down to the numbers your doctor might like. So that's going to be a question that she can ask her doctors to. But we want her to be on a light exercise program. We want her salt to be good. And if all that's good and her blood pressure is low enough, he might be willing to take away a medication.
All right.
But some people can't do all that, Tim. And God made a place for modern medicine, and we use that. But we also want to get people back to the way God made them. And even though a person has a sick heart, that doesn't mean that God can't heal them someday, because we know that God's going to heal us all that walk with him perfectly someday. But modern medicine can help us feel better along the way.
Wow. And at 87, I pray I have a heart that's that good. And it's just a minor thing that they have to adjust in my diet or from medication. And I know you don't stress medications as the ultimate until you really need it.
And remember, medicines treat symptoms, okay? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the symptoms need to be treated. Like, I sometimes use medicines until people can make some lifestyle changes. If they lose enough weight, if they eat on a good diet, maybe their blood pressure come down, they won't need a medication. If they're not having chest pains, maybe that we won't need a medicine to control that. Because every medicine comes with side effects. So, you know, you can change your body's chemistry just by getting back to the way God made us. When we rest, our blood pressure comes down. We rest appropriately. When we eat well, inflammation in our body. So what we eat is actually treatment to the body. It changes our chemistry. Our rest is changed. When you're happy, you make endorphins. When you love, those are all treatments for us. And I'd much rather have those treatments to keep my body the way God made us than to need acute care medicine, even though there is a place for it.
Wow. Now what you've actually told me there, and you actually told me something right there. I learned something. One is I need to watch what I eat, and based on my age, I need to do the appropriate exercises, what my body can actually handle. A lot of people think, you know, at 87, she doesn't need to be out there on the bicycle.
She doesn't need to be
out there doing weight lifts and all that stuff. She needs to just take it easy and do what her body can handle.
Exactly. And, you know, the body gets better gas mileage sometimes if it goes at 50 miles an hour than at 80 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And as the machine ages, the machine has to be slowed down in the exercise program, but it should be continued at some level throughout your life.
So everybody is different. So
that's right.
So my diet, my exercise is going to be different than an 87-year-old.
Exactly.
And we have to act on it.
But, you know, the big point we want to make in answering these questions is there's a template. You know, God gave us a body. He designed it a certain way. And sometimes in this busy world, we get so busy, you know, doing other things that we don't take care of our most valuable asset, our most valuable gift that God gave us, and that's our bodies. Mm-hmm. So today I want our listeners to think about their bodies, think about the way God wanted them to be, and use these biblical suggestions that God gave us as treatments for disease so we don't have to take a lot of medicines with the side effects or have heart attacks or all these other things.
And we'll also be a lot healthier.
That's correct.
Amen. Well, if you'd like to join us on a show, you can do so by going to our website at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org. You can post your questions and concerns there. Heartwise is a production of Heartwise Ministries. And like I said, go to heartwiseministries.org for more information.